The story you are about to hear is true. The names have not been changed to protect anyone, because screw them. Yes, welcome to Dragnet, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, baby, what a 24-hour period it has been. It's the 21st day of February, 2019. I'm Derek Hunter, and this is the Daily Caller Podcast. Welcome to it. You can email the show, Derek at dailycaller.com, and all that good stuff. I'll give you more of the details later on. Let's just get right into it. Jussie Smollett, or however the hell you pronounce it, it's soon going to be prisoner and then followed by a series of numbers, or at least defendant. I don't know if they actually do any time, although he definitely should, or at least have to pay a pretty hefty fine. Yes, in a shocking turn of events to no one who have been paying attention to what's been going on in the last few weeks, the police in Chicago have charged actor, singer, and rabble-rouser, troublemaker, troubled individual, I think, Jussie Smollett, with filing a false police report. It is true. It's a felony. He could face up to 3 years in prison. It's not a good day to be the Empire actor. I tell you one thing, though. If this guy did this for publicity, you can't buy this kind of publicity. Well, I guess you can. Whatever a really high-priced lawyer and a PR team and a crisis management team cost these days, you can get all of that, and you can get this kind of publicity. But a funny thing happened on the way to Emmy and Grammy gold for Jussie Smollett. Yes, the police have decided that he is no longer the victim, but he is the perp. It really started to turn for poor Jussie when the two Nigerian brothers, because he was very explicit in his interview with Robin Roberts. Oh, man, these two white guys who would make America great again fans, this MAGA country, beat him up outside a subway in the only place in Chicago that isn't covered by some form of surveillance camera. His face got a little puffy. He had a little cut on his cheek. They allegedly poured bleach on him and put a rope around his neck, said this MAGA country, called him the N-word, called him the F-word, and then went about their business. They didn't take anything from him. Well, I guess the brothers did take $3,500 in payment from him, but they didn't rob him. And that was sort of indication number one that there might be something weird about this story. The fact that it was 20 degrees below zero. You don't stage something like this on the coldest day of the year, because nobody's going to believe that a couple of dudes are looking to commit a hate crime while freezing their balls off. Just a bit of a pro tip for anybody looking to stage one of these things in the future. There's always tomorrow. I don't know what your schedule is, but it seems as though you could reschedule this. Yes, Jussie Smollett facing 3 years in prison. Hardest hit, of course, is every Democrat and every liberal in the media who immediately swallowed this story. Hook, line, sinker, pole, fisherman, boat, and a huge chunk of the pond in which they were fishing. Why do you think Jussie Smollett did this? According to police, they don't know. They don't really care, quite frankly. I can speculate, to be perfectly honest with you. We have a victim culture. I have been saying this for years. If you listened to me on the radio back in the day, if you have been reading me, if you read my book, we have this victim culture. It's a fetish. It is something to aspire to. It's really bizarre to me. I grew up where you get off your ass and you work, and it's not always going to go your way. When it doesn't, you've still got to get up to work. Nobody's going to come along and say, oh, gee, I saw you didn't get that job, or I saw you got fired from that job, so let me help you. Here's a helping hand. It doesn't work that way. Let me give you a job. I spent a good portion of my 20s sort of angry at the world, unable to afford college, doing job after job, pissed off at the world for not recognizing my brilliance, my genius. Seriously, when you're you know, 20 and dumb, you think these things. Why can't people realize I could do more? I've seen so many movies where it all works out, and you know, somebody comes along and the rich guy notices that this young up-and-comer might have some promise, so they give him a chance. They don't show the part that isn't in the movie where the young up-and-comer busted their ass to get the chance, to get the notice, to get the shot. They always skip that part. I think back on what I could have done with my life if I had started right out of high school, if I had had direction right out of high school. But then who knows? I could have been a complete and total douchebag if that's the case. It's highly probable. But I mean, considering the kind of douchebag I am right now, imagine that even bigger. You know, talking about movies, though, I always wanted that some rich guy to notice me. But what I really wanted out of life in movies when I was 20 years old and a degenerate, it happened all the time in movies. I never heard it happening in real life. I wanted to date a rich girl, and I dated plenty of rich girls. But nobody is ever rich enough, or I was maybe not degenerate enough, and it wasn't for lack of trying, where the father or the grandfather sits you down in the room and says, you know, I don't want you to see my daughter anymore. Here's a check for $100,000. And the guy, the hero, always rips up the check. I'm too proud. I could never. I could have been bought for like a grand. If you didn't want me to date your daughter, if you threw a $100 bill on the coffee table and said, why don't you go get lost? I probably would have gone and gotten lost. It never happened, though, because I was always nice to the parents. I was nice to the girls, too. But I always kind of wanted one of these rich guys to just go, you know what, you're not good enough for my daughter. Because I would have agreed with him. I would have said, you know what, I am not good enough for your daughter. And can we work out some kind of financial arrangement so that we can just get everybody out of this without any damage? But life isn't a movie, as I learned, and apparently Jussie Smollett learned. Although it took Jussie much longer in life to learn this important lesson. So take heart and take, you know, not everybody's meant to live a life that is an example to others. Some people are meant to live lives that are simply cautionary tales. And that appears to be the case of poor, sweet, sweet, nourishing victim Jussie Smollett. It's a weird sort of indication. I don't feel happy about this at all. But anybody with a couple of brain cells bouncing around in between their earwax could have seen this story and should have seen this story and did, in fact, see this story right from the beginning and at least go, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But so many in our media absolutely positively did not. Now, that is not going to stop them from rewriting history. I have a couple of clips here that are kind of funny and kind of pathetic as well. Let's start with Brian Stelter, the bald Avenger over at CNN. He is still, the other day I played you from his Sunday show that nobody watches, a clip where he was insistent that the media got this right. Oh, maybe the entertainment media believed Jussie wholeheartedly, but most journalists did in fact do the right reporting. They put alleged attack. And then I proceeded, and it's all over the internet, everybody proceeded to do this, to point out how in fact the media did not pull their punches. They did not keep their powder dry. They followed the lie. They bought it. They believed it. They reported it. They expounded upon it. Now, Brian Stelter has had 3 days since he made that stupid comment on Sunday, and still, he's sticking with that story. He was on CNN last night as this story broke, and he said the following.
Looking at this, there was clearly a rush to judgment in some quarters a few weeks ago. Many journalists were very careful, but some ended up dropping the word alleged out of headlines the way they should have. And there were a lot of liberal celebrities and activists who rushed to his corner, assuming he was telling the truth. Smollett took advantage of a lot of people by doing that. He took advantage of a lot of people by making the impression that he was a victim in this case. If, in fact, he was lying, there were a lot of Democratic candidates saying this was a modern-day lynching. This turns out to be more of a modern-day lie if the police are right.
You know, Brian sat in his office all day thinking about that line. They said it was a modern day lynching, but it turned out to be a modern day not lynching. No. A modern day lie. Ooh, that's good. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to find a way to work that into my hit tonight if this story breaks. He's such a moron. Oh, but I love in the middle there. Oh, these poor journalists, they're the real victims because he took advantage of a lot of them by painting himself as a victim. The real question Brian Stelter should be asking himself is why were so many quote-unquote journalists willing to accept that lie, accept Smollett as a victim? What was it in perhaps a preconceived notion, maybe even, what's the word I'm looking for, bias, that made them susceptible to not only the Smollett case, but of every single case out there like this that turns out to be a total and complete hoax? Why? Why are journalists so susceptible to that? There's a very simple reason, and I write about it in my book, Outrage Incorporated, by the way. It is this mentality that has been beaten into people, students, particularly journalism students, and all the social justice sort of majors out there, interpretive dance, gender studies, racial studies, whatever you want it to be, 1940 bisexual polar bear studies, any studies out there, these ridiculous degrees that are absolutely worthless except for teaching other people to get a worthless degree. They are indoctrinated since kindergarten now, and thanks to people like Elizabeth Warren, they want to get your kids earlier, want to get them, you know, pre-K, so that they can indoctrinate them into the idea that this is a racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, monstrous country that is just out to hurt people. All we do is take. We bring nothing to the world. We're the monsters out there, and we need to be destroyed. You give somebody 12, 15, 18 years, depending on how long they go in their education, a continual drumbeat of that, and you start to believe it. Most people, thank God not all people do, and thank God the most people who do buy it don't vote or eventually grow up. But you beat somebody over the head with that this is an unjust society and we must fight injustice wherever we might find it. And this, there's racism and sexism and xenophobia and blah, 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 everywhere. And now you send them out into the wild or you send them out into their college campuses. Most of these hoaxes actually take place on college campuses, but not all of them. Smollett is just the latest example. But you send them out into the world, and they're rip-roaring, ready to go. They want to go and find these injustices. They want to go and save the world. How many times have you heard a journalist being interviewed where they say, you know, they're asked, why did you go into journalism? I said, well, you know what, I wanted to make the world a better place. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. None of which is, of course, the job of a journalist. A journalist is to just tell you, their job is to tell you who, what, where, when, and why something happened. Not what it means, not what the bigger picture is, not how it should be interpreted. But that's all gone out the window. Because these college students, they go, well, back to the hate crime, hoaxes, and why they come about. They're set out, they're inundated, movies, books, television, music, professors, politicians, people who are supposed to be telling them the truth, journalists, other journalists. They tell them that all these horrible things exist, so they go out and hunt them down. And they hunt and they look for them, and they're ready to be offended, and they're always offended. In fact, they will protest conservative speakers who are coming to college campuses because they could say something that offends somebody. They don't have any idea what they're going to talk about. It doesn't matter. The possibility exists that they could say something that upsets someone. Therefore, it must not be allowed to take place. And they stop them in a lot of cases because the administration is a whole bunch of spineless jellyfish who cave to a minority liberal mob for fear that they will have their rage directed towards them, which is really not a sign of good leadership. But after a while, when these little social justice warriors are out there at night with their capes and their masks on looking to fight injustice, they don't find it. They don't find it because in reality, this is not a racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, monstrous, whatever, misogynistic country. We are not anything close to that. We've had some bad days in the past, but we are light years ahead of that and light years ahead of the rest of the world. Perfectly honest with you, most people don't give a damn about other people. And that's realistically, given human nature, the best anybody should hope for. And it's what we should aspire to. I don't care what you do. Just don't hurt anybody. And don't care what I do. Just leave me alone to my own devices. If we get along and we're friends, great. So when you can't find all these injustices, but you know deep down, because you have been told for years that they exist, and you have to, you feel compelled with every fiber of your being to fight them, to combat them, to bring about justice. You create them to draw attention to the issue. In my book, I cite many examples. There are many websites that cite many, many more examples. The Daily Caller just did a big post of a bunch of fake hate crimes. And there's a website, fakehatecrimes.com, I think it is. If you just Google fake hate crimes, I'm sure it will come up. But they find, and they do it, and they write racial slurs on their own doors in their dorms or on a friend of theirs door because they want the outrage so that they can come in and discover this and say, it's usually the person who discovers the so-called hate crime and is most outraged by it and calls for student action and the university must act or the employer must act and somebody must be fired, heads must roll. That, of course, gets reported. Because journalists, too, know that this country is racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, whatever kind of phobic, triskaidekaphobic, everything you just throw it on there and they go, yeah, this country really is that bad. So that gets splashed across the headlines. It leads the nightly newscast. The attack of Jussie Smollett was news all over cable news. Even Fox News reported it, lefties. Last night, when the story was finally, you know, when Smollett was finally charged, Brian Stelter, I'm not really sure if you're listening, I doubt it, but when the story broke, CNN did cover it. They covered it in a weird way that we'll get to in a second. Fox News naturally ran with it because they were sort of by proxy blamed for the attack as much as Donald Trump and all his supporters were. But weirdly, MSNBC in their primetime lineup, and I choked down as much of the Lawrence O'Donnell show as I possibly could. I got to about just past the halfway point, and I had to stop. But according to people who watched, including Ryan Severda, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, who writes for the Daily Wire, he watched it, much stronger constitution than I. He watched Maddow, he watched Chris Hayes, and he watched all of Lawrence O'Donnell, and what did they not talk about at all in their 8, 9, and 10 p.m. hours, prime time on MSNBC, not one single mention of Jussie Smollett being charged by the Chicago police with filing a false police report. It's weird. This was a huge story for them when it was Donald Trump supporters' fault, when it was a hate crime reported. And just like all the other fake hate crimes, when the initial reports are splashed across the front page, the eventual correction, retraction, truth, whatever you want to put it, sometimes doesn't get a mention at all in news outlets, and other times it's kind of a, oh yes, there's a lot of local news TV, where they go, the story we told you about last week, where the student found urine all over their door that was spelling out racial slurs. It turns out it was their own urine. Moving on, now with sports. That's kind of how the stories are reported. Once they're outed as hoaxes. That's why most people think that, oh my God, this country is just full of hatred. That MSNBC, the number two cable network, number two, every possible connotation of that, didn't see this as newsworthy, whereas they had been convening panels to discuss how horrible not only the attack on Jussie Smollett was, but how horrible this country is because of the attack on Jussie Smollett. That they didn't talk about it yesterday is telling. It tells you everything you need to know. I watched Lawrence O'Donnell, like I said. He was talking about literally the most of the first half hour was about how next Wednesday, Michael Cohen, President Trump, one of President Trump's former attorneys, the guy who's going to prison for tax evasion and some sort of taxi cab medallion scam up in New York City, how he's going to testify on Capitol Hill next Wednesday. They spent a good chunk of the first half an hour of their 10 p.m. show on MSNBC talking about something that is scheduled to happen next Wednesday. I'm not kidding. Smollett's name was not mentioned. The story was not mentioned. There's plenty of things that could happen between now, or last night, and Wednesday, including the postponement of the testimony, which has already happened before, or, you know, other news could happen. But they decided that it was more important that they talk about something 7 days away than something that broke just before 8 o'clock last night. That is the media, Brian Stelter. But in case you don't remember Brian Stelter or anybody listening, I just want to play this clip to remind, because Brian said, well, most journalists covered this responsibly, remember? Not only did he say that Sunday, he said it last night. So here's a little montage. I believe this was put together by the Washington Free Beacon. This is not all of it by any stretch of the imagination, and this was compiled like sort of in the middle of the wheels coming off of this, long before the wheels actually completely came off, of some of the reporting initially on Jussie Smollett and the media absolutely taking as gospel the idea that couple of white guys, 20 below zero, decided to stalk a guy most people never heard of, beat him up, not take his Subway sandwich or his phone or his wallet or anything of value and yell, this is MAGA country, and use racial and homophobic slurs against him. This is how this was reported, Brian Stelter. Don't tell me ever again that the media was mostly responsible.
Beaten with a noose around his neck and hospitalized, Empire star Jussie Smollett was the victim of a vicious, racist, and homophobic attack.
His attackers hurled racial and homophobic slurs.
Two people yelled racist and homophobic slurs.
Racial and homophobic slurs.
Not only homophobia, we're talking about racism. We're talking about hate with steroids.
They are looking for two suspects who were apparently wearing Make America Great Again hats.
The offenders uttered, this is MAGA country.
The hate crime went down early this morning in Chicago.
Officials are investigating the alleged assault as a hate crime.
And now police say they're investigating this as a possible hate crime.
Anyone attacked in a hate crime like this is an outrage.
This is stomach-turning, mind-boggling information. It's out of control.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi tweeting, the racist, homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is an affront to our humanity.
And Senator Cory Booker said, the vicious attack on actor Jussie was an attempted modern-day lynching.
Kamala Harris calling the attack an attempted modern-day lynching.
But I'm so shaken by the story. This is horrible to report. This is a horrible story. This is a horrible story.
Yeah. I mean, the circumstances are just horrific.
Horrendous and unacceptable.
Absolutely despicable.
Yeah, a lot of people can't believe this is actually happening in 2019.
It's hard to believe that we're reporting, that we're even saying words like this in 2019. Mm-hmm.
And this is America in 2019.
In many ways, this is the most America in 2019 story you can possibly imagine. A lefty blaming anybody on the right for something they didn't do and ascribing racist, sexist, homophobic motives to it. And then all the wheels fall off. Then everything turns out to be a lie. That, in many ways, sadly, is where America is in 2019. Undeterred, Brian, I know that's not going to bother you, those little facts of the fact that many of those voices you heard were your colleagues, and that is not to mention the tweets, all the Twitter tweets. There's no point in sitting reading tweets. That makes for bad podcast. It really does, sitting around reading tweets. But there are hundreds of them. Still, Brian Stelter, undeterred, and Don Lemon, undeterred as well when it comes to Jussie Smollett. He thinks, you know, who's really to blame here? Whose fault was this? Don Lemon was opining. Don Lemon should never go off script. He should always either be reading a teleprompter or have somebody feeding what he should say into his earpiece, because he's not particularly bright. He's not, you know, Chris Cuomo dumb, but he's close. Don Lemon last night on his show basically said this isn't Jussie's fault. It's because Jussie got bad advice. Now, if this is news to, well, I won't spoil it. Let's just listen to Don Lemon.
You can, a good lawyer can get you out just about anything, right? Or reduce whatever it is that you're going to suffer. In the court of public opinion, Jussie has lost. He's right. Lost the fight in the court of public opinion. Yeah. And that's where his battle is. Whether legally, if he has to go, whatever he has to serve, if it's jail time, if he has to do probation, if he has to pay, whatever. But in the court of public opinion,
it matters.
It matters. And he lost that because of how, and not his fault, maybe people were, I don't know what they were saying to him, how maybe because of his representatives. Who knows?
I don't know.
But it was handled poorly.
It was handled poorly. It was not his fault. It was, I don't know what his handlers were telling him. Don, if his handlers were in on the pre-production planning of his fake attack, if they were in on the paying of the Nigerian brothers, if they were in on the rehearsal of the attack, then yes, you could maybe ascribe some blame to those people. Not all of it. It's still Jussie's choice. But I don't think that anybody's reporting that there was a big conference of people Jussie pays getting together, finding, how can we get you some publicity? We need you national. We need to raise your profile, Jussie. So they all got together and said, I've got an idea. With the boys down in accounting crunched the numbers and said, you know what? We thought about maybe trying to, you know, improve your talent, but forget that. We've got a better way. Stage a fake hate crime. It'll be wonderful. The media will lap it up. It'll be great. I don't really think that his team was involved in that. I think they became involved after he realized that it wasn't just that the police were actually going to investigate this. If you remember it, when it happened, Jussie allegedly went into his building, Subway sandwich in hand, undamaged, probably said, hey guys, before you fake hit me and pull punches and you know, just make sure you bruise me, not too bad. Before you do that, don't hit the veggie delight, okay? Just make sure you don't. It's on wheat, and I love it. There's extra mayo. It's perfect. So make sure you don't damage that. He walked into his building carrying the sub and still having the rope around his neck, the alleged noose tied around his neck. And he went to a friend's apartment, and he said he didn't want to call the police. He likely wanted to call reporters. And he, you know, police can't make you file a police report. They can't, you know, investigate a crime unless you report it. But your publicist sure as hell can send out a press release saying this had happened to Jussie. This is an outrage and it's indicative of Trump's America. What happened here? The problem was his friend doesn't appear to have been in on it and decided to call the police and insisted he call the police. So at a snap judgment, the plan changed. He said, okay, call the police and I'll just tell them and it'll just go away. At no point was he thinking rationally in the planning, in the execution, and in the aftermath. That's why Jussie is where Jussie is. It's not any advisor's fault, Don Lemon. It is the actions of the man himself. He did it to himself because he thought the fastest way to get cuts, to get publicity, to get attention, he's got a new album coming out, was to be a victim. Not to go out and sell it, not to put out a good album, not to bust his ass, to go on every show. Look, I've been through it. When my book came out, I'm a nobody. I was an even bigger nobody when my book came out. I had to hustle. I had to call in favors. Not everybody came through. I remember who didn't. I will always remember who didn't, because they come to me now and say, hey, I got a book coming out. I'd like to be on your show. And I'm like, well, I'll think about it. But, you know, the people who helped me, I had to personally ask people. Tucker wasn't beating down my door to have me on his show when my book came out. I asked him to. It's a very awkward thing to ask, but he did it because he's a good guy. Jesse could have gone that route. Promoting something is, it's tough. It's, you know, awkward. You've got to ask people to do you a favor, really, for nothing in return. But you got to go out and you hustle. You got to sell it. Or, I think Jesse thought, well, I can cut way up in line. I can get publicity over this, and then people will pre-order my album. Out of sympathy, because then they'll come together and say, I will stand with you, Jesse. Out of spite, I'll buy your album, whether it's good or bad. If it becomes a cause, it will sell. He actually gave a concert. There's footage of it, but the audio's not great, where he says that he fought back and he swears in it a couple of times. He did a concert out in L.A. after the so-called attack, and he called himself the Gay Tupac. Which is kind of funny, because, there's plenty of reasons that's kind of funny. But Brian Stelter wasn't done. Or Don Lemon, sorry. I get them very confused. They're both bald. Don Lemon wasn't done. He went on to talk about not the story itself. It was how conservatives are going to respond to this. This is how you can tell Don Lemon is a very serious journalist. There's actual information to convey and a panel to digest and dissect what the information you're conveying is to, you know, theoretically inform the audience, which is supposedly the point of cable news. Turns out it's really not anymore. But in the course of this discussion, Don Lemon was very concerned about how people like Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, and worst of all, Donald John Trump were going to react to this news about Jussie Smollett. And he's very concerned. It turns out they're going to eat their lunch. They're going to eat his lunch. Listen.
This is playing out every single moment
yeah.
in cable news. Sean Hannity is going to eat Jussie Smollett's lunch every single second. Tucker Carlson is going to eat Jussie Smollett's lunch every single second.
The President of the United States
is going to eat his lunch. And who does the President of the United States watch every night?
You.
Cable news. Yeah, well, cable news. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. To Don Lemon, the story is not the hoax. The story is the reaction of people he doesn't like. To the hoax. Yes, that's the story over on CNN. Again, credit to CNN. They at least talked about it. MSNBC couldn't be bothered. So kudos to Don for acknowledging that it happened. But in the interest of journalism, ladies and gentlemen, I went the extra mile last night because this is not known. I was the only person there aside from the two principals. There was an actual secret meeting at the White House between President Trump and Jussie Smollett. He was snuck out of Chicago and brought to Washington, D.C., and he talked with the president. And I can say for a fact that the President of the United States did not eat Jussie Smollett's lunch. He did something else, something perhaps more nefarious. And since, you know, I had listened and heard about Rod Rosenstein saying that he wanted to wear a wire into the White House because nobody would check him, I was able to sneak in a recording device to this secret meeting at the White House between President Trump and Jussie Smollett. And I recorded it, and I will play a piece of it for you now.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up!
Don't bully me!
It was a very intense meeting at the White House. You hear the president right there drinking Jussie Smollett's milkshake. So, Don Lemon, fear not. No one was eating Jussie's lunch. They were just drinking his milkshake. It's so pathetic, these people in the media. So we'll find out in the coming days what kind of plea or, tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, which is 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Jussie is due in court for a hearing on this, where presumably he'll find out if he'll remain free on bond or have to post bond. He likely will. This is not a serious crime. He faces up to 3 years in prison. I do think he should get a little bit of time. He cost the police a lot of money in Chicago, a lot of man hours in Chicago, looking into this concocted hoax. So there has to be some kind of punishment for that. God knows the police in Chicago do have their hands full. They have a lot to look into. So there is damage to the people of Chicago because of this glory hound, fame-seeking, attention-seeking Hollywood actor. So there should be a price extracted from that. 3 years is obviously too much, but, you know, a month to 3 months, I think, would be fair. He'd certainly learn his lesson. And apparently, a few years ago, back in 2007, he gave police, he lied to police again. He claimed he got a DUI. He claimed he was his brother, gave his brother's name. So he's got a history of questionable behavior towards police officers. I'm just curious to see what kind of defense his team tries to mount against this. Not so much the lawyers. They're going to be constrained somewhat by reality. But the PR team, they're going to probably try and blame this on Trump. And he was just mad and it's a Trump derangement syndrome. And, you know, this is a racist country. And after years of racism and homophobia being hurled at him, Jussie just snapped. Have mercy on him. I don't think so. All right, in other news, because there is other, there's always other news. There is a, really quickly, before we get to the ridiculous woke-off. If you, it's double standards. That's where liberals live. That's how they exist on it. It is their diet. Remember a couple of weeks ago when Mika Brzezinski was talking about Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and the President of the United States, and she said this.
When he appeared on Fox and Friends, is that a patriot speaking? Or a wannabe dictator's butt boy? And dead serious, I'm asking, are these the words of a patriot?
In trying to attack the president and trying to attack the administration and trying to attack the Secretary of State, she used a homophobic slur. She was off mysteriously the next day. Who knows why? Who really cares? But the day after that, she came back and apologized for using the homophobic slur. Oh, geez, I didn't realize it. Of course, if Tucker Carlson had said that, for example, or just used the term butt boy for any reason whatsoever, Media Matters for America would still have their hands fused permanently to their pearls in feigned outrage and be mounting an attack on his sponsors, trying to get them to drop Tucker to try and get Tucker fired for saying the term butt boy. Mika Brzezinski says it, and she kind of sort of apologizes 2 days later. No big shake. Everybody moves on, and nobody remembers that it happened. It might as well not have happened. The regular outrage police, the PC cops, the brown shirts out there with blogs, they just moved on. It wasn't, I guess it was probably a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when on CNN, Jake Tapper, when talking about Roger Stone and the prospect that he could go to prison, made this crack.
The truth is, no one's going to cry if Roger Stone goes to jail or when he goes to jail. But
he might like it.
But he might. Who knows?
He might like it. Yeah, that Roger Stone. He might enjoy some prison rape, you know. Hey, Roger Stone's a bit of a dandy. He's a sharp dresser. You know what that means. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. There were no calls for Jake Tapper's sponsors to boycott his show. There was no push to boycott his show. There was no outrage, no sustained coordinated attack. It was quickly forgotten. I don't even remember if Jake Tapper apologized for that. I think he got away with it scot-free. So again, we go back to this well. Imagine a conservative had said any of these things about a liberal. You know, Hillary Clinton, she could go to prison. She might like that. You know what I mean? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. Last night on CNN, talking about Roger Stone again. Roger Stone is in hot water. He has to go before a judge today to find out whether or not he's going to be held in contempt. I don't ascribe any rational thought to Roger Stone. I don't know the man. I know people who know the man. He put up on Instagram, which I believe is the only social media. I guess he's still on Facebook too, but he was booted off of Twitter, and he put up on Instagram a picture of the judge in his case with it. There's a cross. I saw the picture for the first time last night. I don't see the big deal, but there, I'm not a hypersensitive leftist looking for anything to be outraged about. There is what could be crosshairs, could be an X, who knows. It kind of looks like crosshairs. It was stupid in any event. Posted a picture of the judge with crosshairs not over her head, but near her head, and was trying to raise money off of it for his defense fund. He then deleted the post. The judge was not particularly happy about that, as you might imagine. She's an Obama appointee, and despite the fact that the Supreme Court Justice John Roberts says there are no Obama judges or Trump judges, just judges, there are Obama judges, there are Trump judges, there are constitutionalists and liberal activists. So Roger Stone jumped into a pool of hot water. He did it to himself. He'll find out his fate. But in talking about that last night, presidential advisor David Gergen, who looks like Gollum all grown up, decided again to make a sort of a gay slur joke about prison rape relating to Roger Stone. Nobody commented on it on CNN. They just let it slide again. Being a liberal means never having to say you're sorry. Listen to David Gergen.
I mean, here he is coming soon to come before this female judge who is an Obama appointee, who Paul Manafort, his friend, went before this judge. She threw the book at him. Paul Manafort could well die in jail. He's a crumpled man. We've now heard tales, harrowing tales about what's happening to him in prison, how his life has changed, how lonely, how depressed he is. He doesn't see his family. Roger Stone must also worry that if he goes there, he's seen as something of a dandy. Will he be physically safe? Will he be subject to rape? I mean, there must be a lot of things that are going through his mind. Oh my God, where have I got myself into?
Roger Stone's a bit of a dandy. Will he be raped in prison? Make any comment about prison rape. If you're a comedian out there and you make a joke about prison rape, oh, you could have made them in the past, but you make it now, you will be chased off the stage with a pitchfork. On CNN, you are a contributor in good standing for all time because you just said, well, Roger Stone's a bit of a dandy. He could get raped in prison. What are you going to do? Maybe he should invest in soap on a rope. No outrage, nothing. Just kind of went on, and David Gergen continued to meander and ramble, because that's what the left is these days, a bunch of raging hypocrites. This is what passes for journalism. This was CNN. Yes, David Gergen is not a journalist, but he was being interviewed by journalists. He was on a cable news outlet. They all just kind of looked the other way. Double standards, ladies and gentlemen. But don't worry, it's starting now. It always happens eventually that the monster returns. Frankenstein's monster always returns to the castle to destroy the castle. And we're seeing a bit of that now. I love it when leftists are held to their own ridiculous standards, because I believe they should be. They should absolutely be held up to the highest of standards. We're seeing, a fight over that in Virginia, and we have an update on the Virginia story as well to come up. But right now we're talking about the LGBTQ, PLMNOPQRSTUV, whatever the hell they've decided to add to it this week. There are two stories related to just how insane the leftists have gotten. The first one involves the greatest female tennis champion of all time, Martina Navratilova. And she had some opinions that did not jive with the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ crowd. And so she is being punished for it. The UK Guardian reports, Martina Navratilova has been removed as an ambassador by Athlete Ally. An organization that supports LGBT athletes following her comments on transgender inclusion. The 18-time Grand Slam tennis singles champion refer to trans women as men who, quote, decide to be female, end quote, in a newspaper column this week, adding that allowing them to compete with women who were assigned female at birth is, quote, cheating and unfair, end quote. This is, of course, going to be a big deal with the Olympics coming up every other year now and moving forward as the left mob sort of metastasizes itself into the rest of society and particularly sports. The idea that transgender athletes should be able to compete against the gender they identify as, not what they really are. Everybody's just got to play make-believe and say, you know what, that dude is really a woman. So, there's a power lifter out there who's destroying the competition. It turns out it's a man who says that he's a woman. So everybody just goes, oh, yes, that's totally a woman. Totally. You using that urinal, buddy? Congratulations on your women's title. There are, I hate to be the if this is the first you're hearing of this, I apologize in advance for the shocking nature of this statement, but there are, in fact, biological differences between men and women's bodies, and I'm not just talking about whether or not there is an innie or an outie downstairs. I'm talking about all of it. I'm talking about bone density. I'm talking about muscle strength. And yes, I realize there are some women who could beat the living crap out of a lot of men. There are a lot of men who are not only beta males, they're zeta males. They are not competitive. They aren't physically strong. There's nothing wrong with that. But on average, men are stronger than women. As I write in my book, I talk about this in my book because it's another way that liberals are ruining everything. The world record for sprinting, the 100-meter dash, is more than a full second faster for men than it is for women. In fact, the world record for women's 100-meter dash would not have qualified for the Olympic finals for men. It's just a fact. Men, on average, are stronger and faster. That's just the way it is. We can argue about whether or not women are better than men. In a lot of cases, I might agree with you. But biology is a stubborn mistress. It doesn't really care what your politics are. It just is. And that is a biological fact, that the fastest woman ever in the 100-meter dash would not have made it. She would have been a distant last in the 100-meter dash in the Olympic finals last time around. Just saying. So to pretend otherwise is ridiculous. And Martina Navratilova is acknowledging this simple fact. And for that, this group, Athlete Ally, has just basically given her the boot. Now, Martina Navratilova, for those of you who don't know, because she retired from tennis a long time ago, maybe your whole lifetime ago, was a pioneer in being an out celebrity, an out athlete. There wasn't much ambiguity. If you couldn't tell by her haircut, I'm going to catch hell for that. But she was very open about being a lesbian. I don't think the world really cared, but she was out there. That was what was celebrated, as somebody leading by example to tell other people, to show other people that anybody can do anything. I don't understand the mentality that needs somebody else to do something so that you can realize you can do it. But whatever, that's what we celebrate as a society. So she was wildly celebrated as a pioneer. She has been in her retirement and in her later career an activist for lesbian and gay rights, a champion for it, drawing attention to it. But she, the pioneer, one of the heroes of the movement, is now not woke enough because she acknowledged biology. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this world that we're living in, that she's now getting the boot because she pointed out something? Realistically, think about it. Michael Jordan, I don't know how old Michael Jordan is. He's got to be getting close to 60 if he's not 60 yet. He could probably still do okay in the NBA. Not great, but he could probably give you a good 10 or 15 minutes. But in the WNBA, I'd be willing to bet that Michael Jordan would be a superstar in the WNBA. all Michael Jordan has to do is say, he doesn't have to change anything. He just says, I identify as a woman, like the magic words. Click your heels together and say three times, I identify as a woman, and therefore you are. And he would dominate in the WNBA. There are a lot of professional golfers who are really, really good, could kick the crap out of just about anybody on the golf course, except for most of the men on the PGA Tour. But there's the LPGA Tour. Men can drive the ball further than women, so what's to stop a marginal cusp player from the PGA saying, I identify as a woman, now I'm going to join the LPGA? What's to stop them? If all we have to go on is somebody's word, and we're supposed to not question that, we're not allowed, in fact, to question that, then suddenly men who aren't good enough to be at the top form for male athletes could then become the top form and win a lot of money and a lot of championships as female athletes. Martina Navratilova called that cheating and unfair. And you know what? That is cheating and unfair. And she's now being dragged by the groups of people that she was the champion of, that she probably inspired many of these people to come out and be comfortable with themselves, comfortable in their own skin. And now she's the enemy, and she must be destroyed because she is not woke enough. Frankenstein's monster always returns to the castle, ladies and gentlemen. And sometimes Frankenstein's monster is just a monster. Another LGBT story. This one it's a doozy. It's unbelievable, to be perfectly honest with you. Out Magazine. The president yesterday, the White House, not the president himself, announced a new initiative to essentially decriminalize homosexuality around the world. While you would know it from watching the news, there aren't people going to prison for homosexuality. There aren't people being thrown off of buildings and set on fire for being gay in the United States of America. Again, you wouldn't know that by watching the news, yet it's true. But there are places in the world where they are, where you can be sentenced to prison, where you can be executed. Backwoods countries, a lot of Muslim countries, just saying. Well, the White House is now leading an initiative to stamp that out around the world. Normally, this would be greeted as a good thing, but it's the Trump administration doing it, so the left has to be outraged by it because it's Trump. They hate Trump. They will start now throwing gay people off of buildings and setting them on fire because Donald Trump says that's a bad thing, and it can't be a good thing to stop that if Donald Trump says it, so we must do it. This from the Daily Caller. Out Magazine, a gay and lesbian culture publication, is accusing the Trump administration of racism over its efforts to decriminalize homosexuality internationally. Yes, you heard that right, because everything is racist if Trump does it. NBC News reported Tuesday that the administration is launching a push to abolish laws in countries that make it illegal to be gay. The effort is spearheaded by U.S. Ambassador to Germany Rick Grenell, good guy, who is openly gay and was credited at least partially in response, was created at least partially in response to the hanging of a man in Iran on charges of homosexuality and kidnapping. However, a writer for Out Magazine claims that the initiative is just, quote, another instance of the right using queer people as pawns to amass power and enact its own agenda, end quote. And the Trump administration should not be applauded for this efforts. According to Matthew Rodriguez, the administration's focus on Iran's mistreatment of gay people suggests that the campaign is really about Islamophobia and colonialism rather than helping LGBT individuals. This is the writer for Out Magazine. He writes, quote, Grenell's attack on Iran might be a case of white men trying to save brown gay men from brown straight men. The article also suggests that Iran isn't the human rights violator that the Trump administration makes it out to be, claiming, quote, Homosexuality is an open secret, and most queer people fear homophobic reactions from fellow citizens more than the authorities, end quote. You remember when Mahmoud Ahmadinejad came to New York and was asked, I believe it was at NYU, he was invited up to NYU or Columbia, one of the two, and he gave a press conference up there, he answered some questions. And he was asked about how gay people are treated in Iran, because gay people are executed in Iran. It's just a fact, no matter what Out magazine wants to deny now that Trump is on the case. And Ahmadinejad said, we don't have gay people in Iran. We don't have them. He was in total denial. They have gay people in Iran. He's just doing their best, and the regime is just doing their best to kill all of them. So, in fact, that statement will end up being true. Now, apparently, trying to protect gay people in Iran is racist and colonialist or whatever. This is how insane the left is. If Donald Trump came out in favor of Medicare for All tomorrow and said, you know what, I'm on board, Bernie. And by the way, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, let's do this Green New Deal thing. I think it's wonderful. Let's pass it as written and I will sign it right away. Suddenly, the Democratic Party would be against those things. They would be opposed to those things. If Donald Trump embraced socialism, Bernie Sanders would become a raging capitalist publicly. Privately, he is. He owns three homes. He's a very wealthy man. But publicly, he's a socialist. So that is where we are as a society. We heard earlier Brooke Baldwin on CNN talking about the Smollett story when she didn't think it was a hoax. She didn't know it was a hoax. And she said This is 2019 in a nutshell, or whatever she said. Well, this is 2019 in a news story. If Donald Trump's for it, we're again it. Doesn't matter what it is. Two more quick things before I get out of your ears for the day. There were a bunch of reports last night that the Mueller report is close, and CNN is reporting that it could be released to confidentially to the Justice Department as early as tomorrow or next week. They don't know. We've been hearing this for a very long time. This is why I didn't spend a lot of time, why I didn't really want to focus that much. There's other news that's much more important. When the Mueller report comes out, then we'll talk about it. But the idea that it might could maybe be released tomorrow or next week isn't news. And this kind of drives me nuts. It's not news. Nothing in the future is news. Speculation about something in the future. Otherwise, you know, the lottery numbers could be 7, 17, 48, 49, and 62. They could well be those numbers. I wouldn't report it because who knows? You don't know what the lottery number. If I knew what the lottery numbers would be, do you think I'd be sitting up at 3 o'clock in the morning staring at a cat, washing herself, speaking into a microphone? I would be living the life of Riley on a big pile of money laughing as I slid down it. There's a visual for you. I probably would do that, though. No, what might happen in the future isn't news, yet it's reported as news. It's reported as news largely, I suspect, because the Democratic media needs a distraction from things like the Smollett story. If you can say, sources are telling us that the report might be released next week, what are you not talking about? You're not talking about another hate crime hoax. You've moved on from it. You're not talking about any number of issues with Democrats. You're not talking about what's going on in Virginia, that's for sure, with the governor, lieutenant governor, and the attorney general all either being racists or rapists or alleged rapists and confirmed racists, I suppose. You're not doing that. So somehow a story about something that could, might, maybe happen, we don't know for sure, because even their sources, their anonymous sources inside the Justice Department, don't actually know when the report is going to be released and if it will be tomorrow or next week. They're just rolling with it, running with it, because they need a shiny object, a squirrel. So while other people are going to run with the idea and wildly speculate about what could be in the report, I personally choose not to wildly speculate. I prefer to know and mock than wildly speculate and pontificate. That's just me. There are plenty of other options for your eardrums that engage in the latter, but not here. And finally today, speaking of Virginia and the governor. If we're going to talk about Ralph Northam, we do have to play a little snippet of his theme song.
This is where the party ends. I can't stand here listening to you and your racist friend. I know politics bore you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you and your racist friend.
Blackface-loving governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, back in the news. This time, kind of, well, not really good. There's no way for Ralph Northam to be in the news in a good way. But he is finding himself with some allies. And this lets you know what I've always said for liberals, for progressives in particular. It is politics uber alles, over everything else. The Washington Free Beacon has the story. Former Vice President Al Gore and NAACP board member Reverend William Barber are uniting to save Virginia Governor Ralph Northam by getting him to embrace a more liberal agenda on the environment. At the potential construction site of a natural gas pumping station, Barber outlined how Northam's governorship could find the, quote, path to redemption with the right policies, the Washington Post reports. And Gore said the same of Northam's racism scandal. It could be a positive thing if it pushes him towards Gore's preferred policies. Al Gore said, quote, if it resulted in Governor Northam saying, I've seen the light, I'm going to change the policy, then God intended it for good. End quote. Al Gore. Yes. So, it turns out that Ralph Northam's racist past was all part of God's plan to implement Al Gore's plan. Follow that logic, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, in the Holy Church of Global Warming, Pope Al Gore IV does have the ability to grant absolution should someone's soul become pure enough and help release Al's second chakra. Metaphorically speaking, of course. No offense to masseuses across the country. That is all the time we have today. Appreciate you listening. Email the show, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. Spread the word, please. You're the only advertising we have. Those of you out there, I had, I don't know. I don't want to say who I had dinner with last night. It seems exploitative. But it is some big muckety-muck out there in the world of radio. Works for the biggest show in the world. And you guys have been harassing him on Twitter, he said, about having me guest host for that person. He asked me to ask you to stop, sort of half-jokingly. I'm not going to ask you to stop. I want you to keep going. It ain't gonna happen, but whatever. He's a friend. He can take it. But I'm not going to use his name because that would be exploitative of a private event and a private dinner that I was at with him last night. So thank you for that, whoever you are. I appreciate it. And everybody else, pile on, dog pile. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have another full show for you tomorrow. We always do. We never take any days off because there's nobody to fill in for me. Who else could do this? One of my cats? They just spit on the microphone and then go use the litter box, which might make compelling pod. Who knows? Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
I drink your milkshake.